Good morning. It's 7:04. This is KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. This week's Eye on Crime takes a look at Carbondale, Glenwood Springs, and Aspen.
From October 21st to October 27th, Carbondale police officers handled 202 calls for service and made 6 arrests, including one for DUI, one for theft, harassment, and domestic violence, and a citation for driving with no valid driver's license. On Sunday, October 23rd, police responded to a medical call at 647 Main, which turned out to be a drug overdose and resulted in obstruction charges and a summons for trespassing. The Post-Independent reports that campers in RVs and other vehicles in the parking lot behind Dandelion Market and Thunder River Theater were kicked off the property after the police were called. From October 17th to the 27th, Glenwood Springs police made 32 arrests, including 4 DUIs, 3 assaults, which included an arrest for fighting and racial harassment, and an assault call on the 17th that occurred in various locations. A 35-year-old Quincy, Illinois man threatened officers and was tased and pepper sprayed before being subdued. He was taken to Valley View Hospital for medical clearance before heading to the Garfield County Jail. Other arrests included 2 for domestic violence, 7 warrant arrests, 4 open container violations, 1 illegal camping violation, 3 theft arrests, 2 menacing arrests, including 1 felony menacing with a gun, and 2 child abuse arrests. 4 people were arrested for multiple traffic offenses. Some of these arrests included more than one charge. On Friday, October 28th, Glenwood Springs resident Mary Kent, 71, was pronounced dead at 12:28 p.m. by doctors in Denver. She was the second victim of a possible homicide-suicide to die of a gunshot wound to the head. On October 18th, she was found along with her husband, Joseph Llewellyn, 79, at their home in Glenwood Springs. Llewellyn was pronounced dead at the scene. Kent was transported to Valley View Hospital and airlifted to Denver. The case is still under investigation. Police believe that there was no third-party involvement, but have yet to determine who pulled the trigger. And in Aspen, a 31-year-old Glenwood Springs man was arrested on the 21st, who might be responsible for high-end mountain bike thefts over the past 2 years. The Aspen Times reports that the man faces 1 count of felony theft after Aspen police were able to link him to the theft of 3 bikes in September and October and advertised for sale on eBay. Last year, local voters approved a $122 million bond for Roaring Fork School District. KDNK featured an interview last week with Adam Volek, principal of the new East Bank School under construction in South Glenwood. Today, news director Gavin Dahl speaks to Jeff Gatlin, chief operating officer for Roaring Fork Schools, about teacher housing, school construction, and the projects already completed the first year.
We did a round of safe and secure entrances in some of our schools. So Soperst Elementary School in Glenwood Springs had a safe and secure entrance vestibule installed. And the same thing was completed at Crystal River Elementary School in Carbondale and Roaring Fork High School in Carbondale as well. Completed renovation of kind of a historical old red brick school building adjacent to Basalt Elementary School. Really converted that with support of the town into an early childhood education center. So we actually moved the early childhood programming from the main building of Basalt Elementary School to the red brick building. And then we're working with the town to lease out 3 classroom spaces to expand early childhood education in Basalt, because we, along with them, understand that this is a critical need for the community. So we're really excited about that one. And we have kindergarten, halftime kindergarten programming at all of our elementary schools. Pre-K looks a little bit different. In Glenwood, it's a little more center-based, where we have an early childhood center adjacent to our facilities department, our transportation department facility out there. And so that's actually something with all of these projects, as we're building new schools, getting that early childhood education component back and integrated into the schools, I mean, particularly in Glenwood, where it kind of got pulled out of the schools. So being able to help with this broader issue, this really major need in Basalt and in the community for early childhood education is pretty awesome. And so it looks a little bit different in the 3 communities, but we're moving towards a consistent approach, and we know it's important to have these programs back and integrated in the schools.
So what's happening with teacher housing?
Certainly an exciting part of this bond was a commitment of $5 million to provide really district staff housing in each of our 3 communities. So $15 million total, $5 million per. We're pretty far into the acquisition side of our program. We've actually secured 17 units in Willits to really serve our basalt community. Our goal and part of the bond was to deliver 15 to 20 units per community. So we're excited to have 17 units that should come online for next school year. They're being constructed right now. I just drove by and they're putting steel up where these units are going to go. So that was exciting to see. Glenwood Springs, we've secured 6 units at Ironbridge. And we're working on a project right now to secure 12 units. We're still negotiating that deal. Between those projects, we feel like we're gaining clarity around Glenwood Springs and basalt. Carbondale's been a little more challenging, just with costs, with availability of resources. And so right now the school district has hired an architect and a design team to look at developing a strip of school district-owned land off of 3rd Street behind Bridges High School in between the 3rd Street Center and downtown Carbondale. That's an exciting project as well, where we have the ability to design these from the ground up. That one is just kicking off, won't come online as fast, but taking the shape that we need it to take right now.
And then outside of the bond discussion for a moment, is there any news regarding the Habitat for Humanity proposal in basalt? Again, this is not with tax money, but but that's another opportunity for teacher housing, right?
It is, and so we are working with Habitat on, you know, really a piece of land behind Basalt High School that, you know, really has been identified not for future expansion of the school. It kind of sits in a really an unused piece of that land. The really exciting piece about the Habitat project is the $5 million per community that the bond is allowing us to do is going to be for a district rental program. And so all of those units are going to remain owned by the district, rented out to our staff. The Habitat units in basalt are going to be a little bit of a different model, and they're actually going to be an ownership model. We know that we need some type of model that will transition from rental to ownership over time. Mm-hmm. And we're anticipating that through our rental program alone, we'll be able to grow funds that can go back into growing the program, whether it be more rentals or ownership. That's to be determined when we get to that point. But the fact that we can jump into a possible transition to homeownership from our rental program this early on in the game is really exciting. And so that one's a little bit different for that reason. You know, hopefully it's equally as impactful on our staff.
There also are big projects underway in Glenwood Springs. Listeners may have heard the interview with Adam Folek last week. He's the principal for the new school at the East Bank site, with a name and mascot to come. And then also you have some Glenwood Springs Elementary updates for us.
Yeah, so two really exciting projects as well. And, you know, when you look at those two, we're looking at almost half of the bond dollars. Not quite, but the biggest chunk there. And so on Tuesday, October 25th, I was on site at Glenwood Springs Elementary School and the East Bank site to get an update on progress and to see just kind of where those projects are, for, you know, from a construction standpoint. It's amazing. You go by those two sites, and with either fencing up at Glenwood Elementary School or just the way that the site at East Bank is situated, you can't see a whole lot from, you know, just driving by. And so I hadn't been down there in a little while, and it was really neat to see how far those projects are coming along. It's exciting. We live in a fantastic community for many reasons, and the support for the school district and education is tremendous. Our goal is to be, you know, great stewards of that trust and the dollars that are placed in our hands. And, you know, we're demonstrating that by jumping on these projects early, trying to avoid cost escalation, and really, you know, using open, transparent processes throughout all of these projects to make sure we're getting input, we're getting ideas, we're getting suggestions. The processes that we've used so far really for all of these projects have lent themselves to that, and that's been really neat to see. I've never been involved in construction at this level and this fast. I'm really pleased about the process that we're using and the job that we're doing navigating all of these projects.
It's also great to see the economic impact out there in the trades.
Right, and that's something that was, you know, certainly is important to us, was important to our school board, is what is that economic impact? And so all of our contractors, subcontractors, anybody that's doing work for any of these bond projects is asked to track local expenses, and we do post that on our website. So that'll be the first part of an executive summary that you'll read on our bond project update, how much of those dollars are going back to kind of stimulate the local economy.
Jeff Gatlin, COO for Roaring Fork Schools, thanks so much for getting us an update here at KD&K.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
The Roaring Fork School District publishes an executive summary of bond projects before the first school board meeting each month. You can go to rfsd.org and select Bond Project Updates. KDNK News will continue to follow the money and track the progress of the new kindergarten through 8th grade campus at East Bank in South Glenwood. And today is the deadline for submitting comments on the Bureau of Land Management's draft management plan for the North Fork Valley. According to the Wilderness Workshop, under this plan, 95% of the BLM's Uncompahgre field office, which includes six counties in southwestern Colorado, would be open to oil and gas extraction. 4 years ago, the BLM unsuccessfully offered 30,000 acres of new oil and gas leases in the North Fork Valley. A year later, BLM proposed a 20,000-acre lease sale, which was also held back due to community pressure. Now, the agency is revising its management plan and may use it to offer new leases in the area. The North Fork Valley has been designated by the state as a creative cultural district and is home to the largest concentration of organic farms in the state. More information is at wildernessworkshop.org or www.uformp.com. Trees are going dormant this time of year, and trees in urban and suburban landscapes require care before and during winter to remain in top health. The Colorado State Forest Service has a few tips for preparing these trees for the cold and snow. First, wrap the trunk, especially for young and thin-barked trees. Mulch the base, recycle your leaves instead of throwing them away. Give your trees a good drink one last time before storing your hose for winter, and pay most attention to younger trees, and don't prune until late winter. More information about urban and suburban tree care is at the Colorado State Forest website. And the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, or LEAP, is now available for eligible households until April 30th, 2017. More information and guidelines are at Garfield County website or at colorado.gov.